morning, which I do tend to forget. And just some very basic stuff for everybody. If you want to ask a question, and this is a Q&A, you all had the PhD of the chakras audios that you listened to. And if you want to ask questions at any point during this, I don't want this to be a lecture. I want this to be interactive. And you just raise your hand by pressing star 2 if you're on the phone. If you are on the webcast, you can type in your question. And I will take a quick look here. And all right, so let's see, Q&A. Okay, so Grow Helen already has a question on there, so I'll take questions in a little while. So that's perfect. So those of you that are long distance and are on the webcast, and definitely write in your questions on there as they come up, as we talk about these things, and anything that came up from the audios. So let me unmute everybody just for 1 minute, and everybody can say hi.
Hi.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
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 Hey, everybody.
Good evening.
All right. All right. And I'm going to put you back on. You're all back on mute. That way we don't have a lot of feedback going on, which was about to happen. So so this is the L&T1 our first summer teleclass. And the goal of this for me is just to sort of set the table here for the summer teleclasses, but also for the year, and really take a little time to have you sort of understand what we're going to be doing and why these teleclasses sort of originated, to support you in sort of being ready for the way we teach the chakras. And some of you did the Healing Power of the Chakras and you signed up from that, or you came to awaken from that. And if you've done that, then you've had a little bit of information about chakra in bows and chakras and things, but hopefully the audios that you listen to before coming on here, chakras 1, 2, and 3, and the intro audios that you listen to. And by the way, if you didn't listen to it, it's totally fine. I'll do a quick review here and you won't miss anything, but you definitely want to listen to those. Those are like little pieces of real estate. There's all sorts of great stuff in there, and it keeps getting better as you listen to it more. I listen to them every year, and every year I'm like, that's really good stuff. That's why we keep using those, and I haven't re-recorded them, just because it really covers sort of a really nice base of what we are, of what we're doing. So these teleclasses are not, you're not getting graded on this or tested on this, or you don't have to memorize everything about it. They're mostly just to introduce you to what we're doing and start that process of sort of thinking, oh, you know, these chakras are more than I thought they were. There's more to healing work and transformational work and knowing your purpose and having a deep sense of purpose in your life that the chakras offer than sort of just knowing that you've got chakras, or, oh, I've got a spinny chakra here, I've got a block in this one or that one. There's an incredible dynamic nature to them. So, all right. So with that being said, I want to get started here just by welcoming you all. And I just have some basic stuff to start out with. And if any of you have any questions, like I said, star 2 to raise your hand. And if you have muted yourself for some reason, I think it's star 6 to mute and unmute, or star 7, star 6 to mute and star 7 to unmute. But I will be muting you and unmuting you. I'll keep everybody muted during the call just because we have so many people on the call. And then I'll also be checking on the Q&A for typed in, for those of you on the webcast, for typed in questions. Okay, so I guess the major element to this is we just had Awaken, and most of you were at Awaken or saw Awaken, and then we had the profile class where we had fun with the profiles. Not a lot of people got a chance to talk while they're up there. We just sort of took a look at the profiles, and now we're going to be sort of letting you sort of take a deeper look at your chakras, and the goal of the work as we sort of started out. I always start out with the profiles. I like the profile day, and not all of you went to the profile day. You can definitely get the recording of it, just reading Discover Your Purpose or doing the missing piece that was given to you in your student site, listen to that, doing some profile work, sort of recognizing that there's a real foundational quality within you that as we do this chakra work gives it a foundational understanding. So I guess I'd start with, as we're doing chakra work, understanding that your chakras are like spirit for your spirit, for your soul. Your chakras are like your legs and arms and feet and maybe heart, and each one of them represents a very specific dimension and element of a whole. And so your arms do something very specific. And now, interestingly, not everybody's got arms, but most people have arms, and we're supposed to have arms. Sometimes there's just genetic problems. But basically, each of us are here to have arms that do something very specific. So just like everybody has a first chakra, nobody has a first chakra that does what yours does. And so everybody has arms, and some people are righty, some people are lefty, but some arms are designed to throw a baseball really, really well. Others, not so much. Some arms are come into the world, are formed around the energy of your soul, which is there to be an incredible musician. And so it has very sensitive touch and loves, and it goes along with the fifth chakra, the vibrational thing, and the arm becomes that, it's a musician's arm, and you can just think of all the possible things that human beings have in their hand size, strength, arm strength, everything about your arm. There's nobody with an arm like yours in the world. And so this is really important to understand about chakras. We can learn a lot, just like medicine does, about the arm. There's cells and there's bones, and there are very specific ways the muscles work, and the elbow only bends one way, and there's all kinds of things about the arm that are that we can all study, and we can say, well, I know what an arm is. But and we're going to teach you, and you're going to read all kinds of amazing stuff about chakras. And if you do, we're also going to make the healing power of the chakras available to you as well. That's a nice little training, and the books and the 12 gateways, which you already have. All of these things start taking you deeper. And the whole goal of this work is to take you deeper than the superficial. And so much of what we're doing in the world is people like to keep it superficial because it's easier that way. Everybody's got arms. Everybody lives in, we're from the United States, and you're from France, or you're from Spain, or you're from, it's just like, we try to make life these these sort of we chunk it down to something that can we can basically, as Kierkegaard said, we can label it and negate it. But the truth is that the only real fun part of it is what is unique to that person that isn't from anywhere. It's like this is a one of a kind. And each one of you, we're going to be finding that one of a kind quality within you, because that is your healing quality. That is how you're here to make your mark in the world. And you have to find it. You have to find, I talk about it as your profile, but even the profiles are big buckets, right? There's like leaders, and there's knowledgeable achievers, and there's team players, and there's deep feelers, and there's creative people. And of course, there's, you know, for every one of those, however many there are in each one, you know, say there's a billion of each of the profiles, there's a billion different ways that profile will emerge. And so, but again, it's like we have to know that just like you have a leg, so now, you know, your leg is your profile. We need to study that. We need to find out what kind of leg and how does that work, and is it a running leg and this. So you understand, I want you to understand that these spiritual centers, these chakras that we're going to be talking about, are, if anything, they're more solid than your physical body. I use these body parts just to kind of give you kind of like a sense of that's how solid they are. They are real. Everybody's got them, and they're more real. They're more sort of purpose focused and diamond hard in their purpose than your actual arm, which is going to come and go. You know, and it's going to be little when you're little, and you know, it's going to get bigger, and then it's going to get all shriveled up, and you know, and we got that. And how long and when it takes it and does it and what it does in the interim. Well, that's the game. That's finding out how am I going to use all this stuff. So what I wanted to just start with is that, first of all, that we're going to be talking chakras tonight. And if you, hopefully you printed out your enlightenment chart or you took a look at it. And this enlightenment chart that you were sent, if you haven't looked at it, it's basically just a grid pattern, and it has chakras 1 through 7, and then the 5 spiritual centers. And this year, we're going to be working with you on understanding, really going deep into chakras 1 through 7, and then understanding how they relate to the life purpose points and the soul points. And the easiest way to sort of understand this is that we're going to be taking you step by step through each of these chakras, showing you how in your life these chakras represent different dimensions of your life, and if something traumatic happened at that dimension of your life when that chakra was developing, you will have made a vow to protect against that or avoid the pain of that. And we're going to talk about why you make vows and, you know, how they actually operate in your system, and why they're so important for this process of realizing who you are. But basically, the 7 chakras are your daily life. It's like everything that happens to you in your life is a chakra. And the 5 spiritual centers are more like your profile, your purpose. There's a mission, there's a meaning, there's a purpose behind why the law of attraction is coming to your chakras the way it's coming to you. So your life is never not on purpose. The only reason you think it's not on purpose is because you don't know your life yet. And then when you get it, when you do this work and by the time we get you to your big why, which happens a little bit later on in the classes, you can look back at your life and say, oh my God, that was telling me, and this was telling me, and I so thought that was not supposed to happen in my life. And then you realize, oh, it was only because I didn't know who I was. I thought I was somebody that I wasn't. And so this whole enlightenment chart, becoming enlightened, means that you have to start really digging and accessing, how did I block the energy in my first chakra, which would be the vow, and then what's the actual truth of my first chakra? Like I said, like if your arm were your first chakra, how would you say your arm was different? What does your arm do that nobody else's does? What kind of personality does your arm have? How do you talk? Do you talk with your hand? Do you hold it in? Do you do, what is that? Is it outgoing? Is it strong? Is it, you know, what does it do? And that's what we're going to be doing with each one of the chakras. We're going to be letting you sort of realize what is this amazing thing called the first chakra, and how does it operate in my life, and what was it born to do, and what's it capable of? And then how have I blocked that? How have I stopped that part of me from really expressing itself in the world? Because if I don't express myself in the world, I don't ever get the energy that I need back from the world to feed me, to live my purpose, to feel healthy. And so illness is always a matter of not knowing your purpose and running the energy backwards through your chakras. So if you've got your chart printed out, or if you were able to take a look at it, you're going to see that at the very top, the top line is the primary profile line. It just says primary profile, and then so across the top it has all of the 12 energy centers, and then it'll say on the left hand side it'll say profile, and then there's boxes underneath each one. And of course, whatever you decide, whatever we come up with and help you get to, and what we decided your profile was on the profile night, it may shift. There may be some truth in what we were in what we said. It may be the absolute truth, or it may be sort of like where you are right now, and then that's the profile that you're really living through at this point in your life. And over the course of revealing who you are more and having you let down your energy more and the defense, you know, like well, defense is all of a sudden we're going to realize, oh, well, you know, hiding behind that is a whatever, an emotional intelligence specialist or whatever it is. But when you're filling in the chart, the top line is going to be where you realize what your profile is. And then the second line it talks about, and these are by the way, the things we're going to be doing every weekend on in class. You do not have to get these right now. All we're going to do on this call is get some talk about what kind of vows or freedom statements or possible excessive deficient, which we're going to talk about in a minute here, you might have. So the first two lines are the profile, and then how you may, like, for instance, if you are, if you're a knowledgeable achiever and you were brought up in a family where being the one that mothers everybody and takes care of everybody, you may use the defense of the team player or the people pleaser. And so that would be on the second line. So knowing that about each chakra, so thinking about how we're addressing your chakras, we want to address each one individually as opposed to, well, this is what my chakras do. Because this is what my chakras do is different in almost every situation. So then you have to know, well, why in this situation? Well, that's your relationship dimension. But when I'm at work in my third chakra, who I'm presenting my ego as, I behave very differently. And when I'm thinking about and visualizing my future, I see things very differently as well. So each of the chakras will need to be addressed. That dimension of your life needs to be addressed individually as we're building this. And by the way, this is only the first page of the Enlightenment chart. You get the first page of it. In the second and third year in class, you get this, you know, you go much deeper into archetypes and even all the way down to figuring out the one thing your chakra can't ever do as we go along. So but in the first year we're going to talk about your primary profile and how you defend, how you go into defense, or which profiles you use in defense. We're going to talk about your vow, which you all should be slightly familiar with, and I'll talk about in just a second here. And then we're going to talk about the freedom statement, which is the core quality of the chakra. And then we're going to talk about in your defense, when you're stressed, whether that dimension of your life has used an excessive, like overcharged, or deficient, undercharged way of dealing with stress or problems in your life. Okay, so that's the chart which we'll be filling in. It's good to print it out and just have it. You know, just they're only little tiny boxes, but if you wanted to, as we're going through tonight, you know, sort of. They are on a Word document, and so when you type into the boxes expand, so you can totally type into it. But if you just want to have like a piece of paper, you know, printed out on that, and you can write down right in each of the boxes sort of what might be going in there, that's very helpful. Okay. All right. So as I do each thing, I'll open for questions here. So any questions, raise your hand, star two on the chart, on sort of what the chart is about. And I can tell you that this chart starts out as kind of just like a class exercise where you're like, oh, I gotta put my vows in there and maybe I'll think about what my freedom statement is. But as you do this, I just redid, I have to find my chart here, but I just redid my chart. I redo it every year, and just subtly go deeper and more realization. And when you have your chart done, you will be able to look at that chart, and it just makes you smile. It's like, oh my God, that's who I've been since the moment of conception. I've been that person. Everything I've ever done in this lifetime. That's it. It's right there. And then when you get to the soul qualities and the life purpose qualities, those are things that you've carried with you often lifetime after lifetime. They're gifts. They're these deeper, energetic sort of channels that you build yourself, you know, in the physical world through. So think about this chart, like it's like everything you put on that chart should be making you, feel amazing about yourself. And I know the first thing we put in there is your vow, which is I vow to never be or always be, or, you know, and you can feel how that sort of held you back in your life. But let's talk a little bit about vows, and then we can go after them. The vow that goes into a chakra is remember it's a vow not just against an event happening. So if in your first chakra, if you felt like your mother loved your sister better, okay, you may have made a vow to not care if people love you. I'm the special one. I'm never going to be the special one. I vow to never be the special one. And so when you've made that vow, so this is really important. This is a writer downer, everybody, if you're taking any notes. When you make that vow, the reason you made that vow, and a vow is very different than a belief. A belief is just sort of like, well, yeah, I shouldn't do that anymore. Maybe I'll remember not to do that, and so I'm not going to get disappointed or whatever it is. But a vow comes, and it's just like this. It was a huge issue for you, and you made that vow to never be special. And when you made that vow, that's almost like a breadcrumb back to a truth within you. So you made the vow to never be special. And the reality is that the reason you vowed not to be special was probably because you so wanted to be special. You knew you were born to be special. In your first chakra, you have a look, a body type, an energy, a coordination, a warmth, a presence, something that really makes you special. And it's a part of your purpose to have that and to be that. And so when that wasn't acknowledged, that was a trauma to you. Whereas it wasn't a trauma to the other kids, the ones that didn't come in here to be special in that way, and some, needed an authority figure to see you as special and to be related to that authority figure that would make you a part of the authority. You know, if they didn't have that, they wouldn't even notice if the parent did that. You know, it would have been like, oh, yeah, mom played favorites or whatever. They would have done that. But yours was like, no, I'll never. And when you do that, when a vow comes into your system at some point in your child development, and you make that always, I'll always be special, or I'll never be special, or always be good, or I'll always be happy, or whatever you have, that was triggered by your true purpose in life getting rejected. And when your true purpose in life gets rejected, that's where you have real, that's like there's no deeper pain than, or loss, feeling of emptiness that you have, that when you unconsciously know that there's this quality in you that you love the most, and you're dancing around with it and partying with it as a little kid, and it's just like, it's you and me, and we're like this, and all of a sudden you realize nobody else sees it, nobody else will even acknowledge it, and or worse, they don't like it, because chances are really good, since your parents are very similar to you, they rejected that quality in them, or that quality got rejected in them, and so they instantly can't stand it in you. And when they reject it in you, that's the greatest trauma. So when someone says, what's your core wound? It wasn't, that you fell out of the crib and hit your head. It wasn't that at all. It was that in some way, your parents, your brothers, sisters, family couldn't see these amazing soul gifts in you. That gift that you're here to be in that chakra, in the first chakra, it's your, it's your body, the way you relate in family, the way you create family, the way you support family, it's your presence. It's all of these elements of the first chakra. These are all things that if they get rejected, if you were rejected, for your body, if you're, if you're a little baby and your parents your parent has an issue around weight or something, and all of a sudden they're calling you fat or chubby or, whatever. And it's just like, and all of a sudden you realize that's not cute. They're not saying that because it's cute. They're saying that because they don't like that about you. And all of a sudden there's this sense that I am bad, who I am, who I actually am, my physical body that I can't change at all. I can't, is bad. And then you go about trying to make a body, I'm a bit of a wise ass or whatever I am, or I don't like to take orders from anybody, whatever. And in the family, it's like, no, you have to be a little soldier here, and you follow along. Children are to be seen, not heard, or whatever you grew up with. And when that goes against your actual purpose in life, you create a vow. Now, of course, that vow is going to always or never that thing. And so when you're now thinking about, well, what is my core quality, then you're going to use that as your sort of like your breadcrumb back to, so if it's true that I'm not supposed to be special in the family, what would be the truth? So what would I have to be open to then? And it's saying, because you may be here to be special in a humble way, right? That may be your first chakra. You have that strength, that presence but you're not like wired to stand up on stage and be, you know, singing, you know, or doing something like that. You're here to maybe be an advocate for people or something like that. So you start, you know, you use that vow to access and access back to your, you know, to real truth in that chakra. And the real truth has to be felt. And I'm going to talk about feelings and chakras in just a second, because it's really, it's like the essential piece of living your purpose, not knowing what your purpose is, but living your purpose is feeling. But let's just go to the last piece of this. So each one of these chakras, and this we're going to do today, hopefully for the chakras 1 through 3, is we're going to talk about vows, we're going to talk about freedom statements, and then we're going to talk about whether that vow would create and did create, and you are wired to tend to either be excessive in your energy in that center. So someone who is excessive in the first chakra is someone who is you know, very controlling of the environment, stiff, you know, dense, present eyes, you know, very, you know, they're excessively holding on to things. You know, that's what the excessive first chakra does. And the deficient, of course, doesn't know they're around. You know, it's like the, you know, so the knowledgeable achiever, would have, you know, and charismatic leader tend to have the excessive first chakra where it's like, it's a, you know, they're trying to control everything. And you know, the creative idealist or the emotional intelligence specialist would have a deficient first chakra, right? So they wouldn't really notice whether they're in control of anything or not. And so they're not present. They're not engaged in that. So the more stress there is for a emotional intelligence specialist or a creative idealist, the more they leave their body. They leave the family. They escape. They aren't present. They lose their presence. And then of course, you know, for the team players, probably too. Team player, charismatic leader, and knowledgeable achiever, they tend to be much more controlling in the, you know, and sort of grounded. But when they're under stress, they get even more, intensely, holding on to things. So that would be the, you know, so with each of these chakras, we're going to talk about, the vow, the freedom statement, and the excessive and deficient. And so before I just talk about, sort of just a little bit more about how these chakras feel and why it's so important to access these, and you're going to know these chakras through your feeling. Let me just take a couple of questions here. Anybody would like to speak to the group and ask a question? It really helps when you do, by the way. It helps other people. So we've got quite a few folks on here, and oh, good. All right, so we have hand up from Dedham, and then I'll go check the Q&A. If you have a Q&A question, you can do that too. So let's just take this one first. All right. So it's Dedham. It's a Dedham. No, it's not even a Dedham number. There's no. Oh yeah, it's 7520. Who we got?
This is Aubrey Thompson.
Oh hey, Aubrey.
Hi. I have a question about. How many vows typically does one have in each chakra? Is it normally like one big vow, or could there be a number of them? And how do you know what all of them are?
Well, so as we do this, and as we look at the, I'll go through the sheets that you also have, the vow sheets, the excessive and deficient sheets. The freedom vow and freedom statement sheets. We'll go through some of those and I'll give some examples, and then you'll kind of get a feel for it. As you study the chakras, you know, sort of understanding sort of first chakra is your family, first chakra is your body, first chakra is your relationship, that whole dimension of your life. First chakra is anything that's solid in your life. So when you start recognizing that chakras aren't these spinning vortexes of light, they're actually the way you process the universe, okay? And one of the ways you process the universe is through where you fit in the world, in your tribe, with people, your body itself and its presence and where it is in the world and the space you're taking up. And those are the two major elements of the first chakra is that sort, you know, your body and your tribe. And when you think about when you were growing up, how did you establish yourself in the family? What was your role in the family? What kind of vow would you have? Were you the good one? Were you the were you the smart one? Did you hide a lot? What did you do in the family? And often, you have to think back, well, what was it like when I was growing up as a kid? And maybe you won't remember when you're 1 or 2 years old, but you'll remember sort of 4, 5, 6 year old when you all of a sudden was like, yeah, I was the fifth child. And so I had to be the cute one, or I had to, whatever it happened to be. So you start with just recognizing that there is a general pattern of how you have behaved and behaved from really early in your life on that ultimately has led you to doing things that you don't like about yourself totally. It's like, I wish I didn't do that all the time. I wish I didn't put my family first all the time because I never get to do my own thing. I never get to go where I'm going to go. I wish I hadn't vowed not to like my body or to see myself as, you know, whatever it is, whatever, you know, whatever. I'm not athletic enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not, you know, beautiful enough. I'm not whatever that was. Or I vowed to say, well, I'm, you know, my looks are my only thing I have going for me, or I have whatever it is, you know, that whatever that around that. And you're going to make statements around that because that's how you were, you were brought up. And there may be, and you may on first blush, you may go down the list and say, I got 6 or 7 of those. And you definitely want to, you know, write them all down. But then as you're doing this more and more, you can really get down to, okay, you know, so we're talking about family here. And then you can ask yourself, well, which of these did I do with every group of friends I've ever made, every job I've ever had with people that I work with? What's the one of these things that I do with everybody that I always do that I can't help because I think it's a good thing to do? Like, because we don't think that we didn't make the vow because we thought it was a bad thing to do. We thought it was the right thing to do. And we actually, the way you know it's a vow is because when you don't do it, you feel horribly guilt and shamed. And whereas when you don't do a belief, you're just kind of like, well, I should have done that. Maybe I'll do it next time. But when it's a vow, it's like the child had a crisis when the real vow was made, the big vow, to reject the real self. Because the real self became something that you were embarrassed about because nobody, somehow, it was the most important thing in the world to you. It's the only thing that was ever going to make you happy. And it got rejected. And when it got rejected, you then had to reject it to be loved by that person. And you felt that way, at least, as a child, and you weren't willing to, you couldn't fight for it because they were bigger and stronger and they were right. So the answer to your question is, yes, you can have multiple vows, but over the course, you're going to whittle it down to the biggest ones because those are the ones that are ultimately making decisions for you. Okay.
Yep, that makes sense.
Okay, and we'll talk about that in just a second here. Yes. So let me just take you off here, and then I've got one more. Joanna. From Brazil.
Yeah.
From Brazil. So, Joanna, you may have both your phone and your computer
and
on.
I am connected with my phone, but I am on,
Well, it's okay. It was just repeating what I was doing. Now it's fine. So go. So what's your question, Joanna? Hello? Joanna, are you there? Bummer. Oh.
I am.
Wait a minute. Okay, you're there. Sorry. Somehow you got muted again. Okay. All right, perfect. So, Joanna, you're here. What's your question?
Can I ask something about my specific vow of mine, or you want more general questions?
No. That's totally great. Let's do it.
I have a vow that says, on the first chakra, it says, I don't want to be here. I don't want to see, hear, think, feel. It's not safe to be here. What to do with that?
Okay. All right. If you had to say which of the profiles you are,
I am at the moment. I'm a knowledgeable achiever, and the second one is creative idealist. And for the moment, I go with that.
Okay, for the moment, you go with that. Okay.
Yeah.
So the creative idealist is the one that doesn't want to be here because the creative idealist knows that this is a dangerous place.
Yep.
And so you grow up in a family. Was there any type of problem in your family? Was it not a safe place to be with your family?
Yeah. The one thing that's like a big thing that was when I did something wrong, then my father would ignore me, just look right through me for a few days or a week or I don't know exactly. But I didn't exist for him.
Okay. And that's a very unsafe place for a child, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's better to be hit because at least they're in relationship with you. So it's possible also that you may have a little charismatic leader. And that creative idealist and knowledgeable achiever are the ones that are sort of fine being separate from everybody.
Sorry, say it again. They're fine with?
So when the creative idealist and the knowledgeable achiever realize that people are idiots and that the world's dangerous, they just dismiss it.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And so.
It's like an ignoring. I totally ignore that.
Right. You ignore it. Your dad's energy.
But that means I don't feel, I don't think, I don't.
Right. So your vow is, if you have to make your vow, I vow to not see the world as safe or not want to be here.
Now, I have decided for the whole thing that I was reading, because at the moment this really feels like, this is my central vow. And it's
big vow. Our first chakra makes more choices for us than any other chakra. So not seeing the world is safe. Has that stopped you from doing things in the world?
Yep.
I know that you're down in Brazil helping run a retreat center, right?
No, I'm visiting. I don't help it run.
Oh, you don't? Oh, you're not working there. I thought you said you were working there. Okay, you're just visiting. So then you have to ask yourself, how has that stopped you from creating family, stepping out and being seen for what you're really good at? And then the question is, what are you really good at?
Yes.
What are you?
That's the question for me as well.
Okay. So, the freedom statement might be, we'll go through these in just a second with everybody. But
I have one.
Freedom statement.
I made
before,
one.
Oh, you have. What's your freedom
I made
statement?
Myself. I made myself. Yep. But I listened to what you were saying. So for me, this one is: I'm pleased to be here and love life immensely. I feel secured and welcome. It's my birthright to be here, taking up space and really enjoying being here, being alive.
Okay, reread the beginning of it again. I'm open here. I'm open, and it's always starts with I'm open to.
I'm pleased to be here and love life immensely.
Let's leave it at that. Okay, so this is awesome for everybody. Everybody listen to that. Okay, so her vow was, I don't want to be here. I don't feel safe. Right? And what's not, and what's the most unsafe thing? People?
Something with people and authority, yes.
Authority.
I'm good with places. I'm good with places in general.
Okay, good with places, but trusting people. So I don't want to be here because people are crazy or mean or, you know, can't trust them. And it's not safe to be here for the same reason. So there's
sometimes I'm afraid of them. I'm afraid they don't like me. They don't acknowledge me. They don't allow me to be here. Something like that.
Right. So
I don't think they're crazy.
So you recreate the, you know, and you see them ignoring you like your dad did.
Yeah, or yeah.
In some way.
Sometimes, yeah. Or
if they're being nice to you, they're faking. Okay.
Yeah.
So now, saying the freedom statement, which you just did the converse to that, okay, which is, I'm pleased to be here and love my life immensely. Okay? So now, the reality is that is not something you're going to be able to live up to. Because you wouldn't have had that other vow if you were here to just love your life and be and just be totally open and happy. You like a challenge. And so the freedom statement has to include a statement like, I am open to.
Meeting people
where they are, and
challenging myself
to share with them what I'm the most excited about. Right, something like that, where you are interacting with them. In a way that you wanted your father to interact with you.
That's why I have to.
You didn't want him to ignore you. You wanted him to interact with you and talk to you about ideas and connect and share what was going on inside of him. Right?
Yeah.
So your freedom statement has to address why you would have made that vow of all vows.
Just to address. So when I do that for the other chakras, I have to look what made me come up with that vow.
Why was that the vow?
Yeah, why was that the vow? What
kind
of memory do I have?
If you had brothers and sisters and your dad ignored them, they might have had a very different experience of that. They might have been like, thank God he's not talking.
Yeah.
Right? I love it when I get left alone. Right? Whatever they would have had, but everybody's going to have a different reaction to that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're going to keep moving here. All right.
Thank you.
All right, Joanna. Thanks for raising your hand. All right. Let me go to the Q&A. And let's see. So Gro had one coming in the door. I have questions about the chakra vows and characters. If you leave your body and stay in your head because the world seems dangerous, is that always the thinker defense? And if your primary profile is charismatic leader, will you automatically have a deficient first chakra? And if you go into charismatic leader, will you automatically have a deficient first chakra if you go into thinker defense? Since your CL needs more energy at the first chakra. Okay, so this is both a profile question, and it's really hard. Like as you're hearing me talk here, and as we go through the program, it's really hard to talk about chakras without talking about what creates them, which is the profile. And it's hard to talk about profiles without also sort of saying, well, what kind of chakras would they have? And so obviously the charismatic leader has got an incredibly versatile, usually powerful body and has a lot of presence, but can be very much of an actor or actress or chameleon-like. Because they tend to be the actors and actresses in the world. So to answer your question, let's start with the beginning. So the question was, even a charismatic leader who has to stay, you know, often, you know, is here to stay and fight, and stand their ground, when they're afraid and it's a dangerous situation and they escape into thinker defense and they go up into their head, do they leave the first chakra? Yes, absolutely. So they would have, when we talk about, the excessive and deficient, they would have a split chakra. And it's very common with charismatic leaders, especially charismatic leaders that they maybe have the charismatic leader and the creative idealist. So they have two totally different worlds that they live in. They will often have, they'll be excessively controlling, at the first chakra in some situations. And then just like, oh, done, I'm gone. And they're just out and they can't even be bothered. Like Joanna's dad, probably a charismatic leader. He could have totally been a knowledgeable achiever as well, and just dismissed. You know, just like he just checked out. It was like, I'm not even here for you. I'm not present for you anymore. So yes, the charismatic leader can have both, and that can be there. And one would be the excessive. At times you're in it, you're fighting with people, and then with someone else walks in the room and you literally are not even, you can't remember what happened because you left your body. So yes, that answer is yes. In the recording you say, I love myself is a freedom statement in chakra 3. Is that not more for chakra 4? So in chakra 3, I love myself is more like a check this out. This is a one of a kind. I love being the one and only me, the Reese, not just, because there's other people named Reese in the world, lots over in Wales and England. But this Reese, this is a this this one's the jewel. This is the one that I've got. And I have to love that before I can come into a relationship and hold that ability, which would be the only thing I could ever bring to that relationship, would be self-love, right? The only thing you can ever bring to a relationship is something that you think is amazing, right? If you don't think it's amazing, if you think that, well, now that I'm with you, now I'm amazing, I really wasn't amazing before, or you're the one that makes it happen for me, you know, that is a dependent, that's like, there's the beginning of codependence, where you're depending on the other person to acknowledge you, so now you know you're valuable and you really exist. So having self-love at the third chakra, where it's just like, check this out. This is the coolest thing. I got to share this with you. It is the most amazing thing. It's the one. I mean, this is, you're never going to see one of these again, folks. Come on. And when you're doing that, that's real. That's like, and it's not, I mean, I'm joking around about it like that, but basically, you know, it's not being narcissistic to love your uniqueness. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite. Narcissistic is usually loving the parts of you that make you better than other people, which is really just the ego, the false part of you. Loving yourself in the fourth chakra, okay, is more how you give and receive simultaneously. So if I love, I give and receive love at the same time. Loving myself enough to give and receive is really, really where that is in the fourth chakra. So without getting too much into, we're going to get into the upper chakras next class. So Lucy says, how do you deal with a chakra that's both excessive and deficient? Just go along for the ride, Lucy. you just recognize which situation it tends to be in, right? So if it's excessive, and I wanted to get into those in just a second here. So we'll talk about excessive and deficient in each of the chakras, and I think that'll answer your question. Dan says two questions. One, how does a traumatic, life-changing disability injury at the age of 20 factor into chakra one, or other chakra issues? In the basic definition. The basic definition of deficient chakra, it states that past life issues, wounds can cause a deep vow. How can we discern a past life issue? Well, we don't do that much with past lives until the second year, just because you got plenty of stuff that happened in this lifetime to mess around with, that will reflect the same issue, because whatever the past life issue is, it's just calling your attention to the fact that in this lifetime you're not dealing with it. And so if we look at what you're not dealing with in this lifetime and how you're avoiding living your purpose in this lifetime and how you're not letting that chakra thrive as is where is, that's going to be where we're going to deal with that. Past life issues do tend to be something that's just like a phobia, that you're afraid of water you always were. You came in, you're like 2 years old, you're like, you can't, it's like, it's something that's always been with you. It's like something that it sort of defined a piece of you. So we'll talk about that. That's a very different thing. We actually teach you how to heal at that. That's the astral level, and navigate that. It's really a lot of fun, and crazy. That's like a crazy world. It's a little bit, the astral level is where the shamans go and do their work. So you gotta build up to that. So the question is, how does a traumatic life injury, 20, factor into chakra one? Well, so, what is it? How is it that, so what would the vow be in your first chakra? If you go back to, your vow in the first chakra around your place in the family, or, you know, what you're supposed to do or be, or whatever it is. I'm supposed to be, you know, and for boys, it can be, I'm supposed to be strong and tough and out there and, you know, be able to do anything, be able to leap tall buildings, you know, be a good athlete, be whatever it is. And that can be third chakra as well. But so what's that vow in there? And was sort of the vow that you're always supposed to be up and together and strong and the provider and the, you know, whatever that is. And when you had the injury, did that all of a sudden mean that I can't be that, right? I can't do that. And the reality is that when you are wherever you are in this moment, you have everything. The universe has never been wrong. Okay? The universe has never been wrong. The universe is always giving you exactly what you need to live your purpose, to totally transform the world. You are, you know, whatever it is. And we know, when people that, you see these, these amazing people who come back from the war and they had both their legs blown off. And then they become these sprinters with these metal legs. And, you know, and they didn't, take that as something that meant that then they couldn't live their purpose. It was just their purpose never changed. It just has another body that you weren't expecting. But the purpose never changes. Your soul purpose can't change. It's like diamond hard. And what you're being given is your challenge in your life. And if you're challenged with, you know, losing a limb or having a chronic injury or a chronic illness or, you know, whatever it is, that is very specific to how you need to call back your love of your first chakra, your, you know, because your soul loves your first chakra. Your soul couldn't, you know, I say this, I think I said it on the audio. If I could pull you out of your body, if I could just say, you know what? Yeah, it's, you know, let's, this was a bad, you know, this shouldn't happen. Let's just take you out. We'll put you in a different body. We would get your soul, which you've blocked listening to, with your vow, a few inches away from your body, and you'd be like, whoa, oh my God, I totally missed the purpose of this. I totally missed what I could do with that. I never even bothered because this belief was challenged, this vow was challenged. It said I should have been this, I always should be that, and if, you know, that's, and if I can't be that, then it can't work. So check that vow. You know, what was the vow in the first chakra? What's your vow around family and first chakra obviously is your male or female as well. So it's like, what is it for men? What is it for women? What are you supposed to be doing? How are you supposed to operate in the family? All of that stuff. So, ask yourself, if you were to get, let's say I got you out of some other body that you didn't want to be in, and your body then was totally available, why would a soul come in and give you the body you have right now? Why would you choose that? Why is that the most important thing for you to have that as a part of your curriculum to God? And listen, some people don't have problems with their body. They have problems with their emotions. And other people have problems with their ability to step up and be seen and hold their hand up and say, it's me. Or some have, terrible divorces or problems or, you know, whatever it is. Or they've been told, don't speak unless you're spoken to, or you're, you know, or they were, you know, had mental warfare in the family with their mother, or, you know, whatever it was. Or they were told that spirit is, you know, this is what God is, and how dare you, and, you know, whatever it is, you know, fire and brimstone. In each of these chakras, You know, anything that gets shut down, any vow you have, shuts down your ability to feel who you are in that chakra. So picture that. So this is. So let me just talk about this, and then we'll go into each of the chakras. And let me see what time we've got here. So we've got a half an hour, right? God, this time just flies, doesn't it? All right. So so here's the key with understanding why vows are so important that we do this. Every vow that you make is a vow to block the feeling that you had when you were rejected. Okay, and certainly, you know, when a major life trauma happens, and maybe it happens later in your life, the vow you'd already made just modifies itself slightly to sort of reinforce itself around whatever trauma happens. Because the trauma happens, if a trauma happens to your body, it happens usually to wake you up to the fact that you have vows in the first chakra that will directly address and call you back and allow you to reestablish your wholeness within that chakra, because that chakra knows who you are. It knows exactly what you're supposed to do. And that chakra is flowing with the universe. So whatever is in that chakra is what the universe wants you to embrace 1000%. Okay. And realize what you can do with that right now. And if it's your body, you know, or your family or whatever it is, that's the place where you do your work. A vow is like, it's like a stopper. It goes into that chakra and it blocks you from feeling the pain that, you know, of being rejected for that quality within you or whatever that was, or that guilt and shame that you had for being that in the family and not being, you know, being more wild or whatever you were, and you were supposed to be nicer and better, and you know, you shouldn't have been, you know, a problem child or whatever it was. And what happens is that when you can't feel in your chakras, you can't make choices in your life that move you toward your soul, because your vow becomes the answer to all of that chakra's problems. So if I vow to always be good, or let's say in the first chakra, I vow to always put family first, or never be special, right? Never be special in the family. That becomes the decision. So every time you think about how do I go into a family, or how do I go into a family at work, how do I go to into my, and you're going to notice that everywhere in your family, every group you ever entered, you played yourself down because I'm never going to be special in the group. I never can be special. I'm never going to be special. I vowed to never be special. And it makes every decision for you because you can't feel the truth. When a vow comes into a chakra, it actually shuts, it pulls back. It either fills the chakra so much with I will always, that's the excessive, and it becomes excessive, and it's like I'll always do this, and then boom, I do this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, I'm always going to be special, I'm always going to be special. And you can never feel when you're not supposed to be special. You never feel when being special is actually not standing out. You can never feel the subtlety of how special you actually are in that moment, because the moment is never anything you can feel anymore. The chakras are here to feel the moment so you can make a choice as to how to live your purpose. When you have vows in that chakra, you can't make choices in your life anymore. You are incredibly stuck in indecision. Or you've made one decision, which is the excessive, okay, where it's always the same decision. This is the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. And you can't ever break that because it's the only answer that you will ever allow run through that chakra. So we're all here to make the choices that allow us to live our purpose. The only way you're going to make those choices is to allow yourself to reawaken, reopen, refeel what's actually happening right now in your chakras. And not have that feeling, that energy that's running through that chakra, then have to go through the filter of your vow. And the way to shift that is to start using and recognizing that if you pick a freedom statement, which is an actual soul statement, so let's say it's around, Dan, it's around being disabled. Okay. At the first chakra level, I'm open nobody's disabled the same way. Right. So it's a very unique, there's a very specific, that's why when we do healing work, we teach you all about the body parts, which body part is sick or ill or gets cancer or has, the issue. And where is all that? What's happening? What part of the body is that? Because that tells you that part of your body is saying this is also another clue back to what's going on. So how are you disabled? What type of disability is it? And how is that the thing that you need to heal? You need to heal your opinion of that, to a place where anyone else who has any kind of disability at all would be inspired by you. Okay, so how would that be? What is that element? What's that freedom statement? So that I am open to seeing that this event in my life that I thought should never have happened is somehow the best thing that ever happened to me. And I am going to discover every day what that is. And when you are looking for the miracle in every day, it'll just start appearing. Whereas when you're looking for why this shouldn't be happening, you're going to find all that too. And the vow tells you exactly why you have to do it this way, and I'm not allowed to do it any other way. And the freedom statement says, I have no idea what's going to happen, but it's going to be amazing. And everything that's happening, I'm open to that. Because when you open the chakra, when you open a chakra up with any type of healing strategy, which a vow, working on your vows and freedom statements is a healing strategy. When you open that chakra up to that, what you're doing is you're opening up directly to the soul that has never been injured, never had an argument, never not loved itself infinitely, never not been pure love. And when that chakra is open, you, whatever you're capable of, whatever vibrational level you're capable of, you attain that, you share that, you live that way, and you become an inspiration to anyone who is around you. And it won't matter, it doesn't matter what's happened to you in the past, unless you've made a vow around it to honor that wound or trauma, which is what a vow does. A vow says, I'll never forget or forgive. I'll always do this from now on, or I'll never do that. Right? And that keeps that fear, that self-rejection more alive in your system than your life itself, than the universe, God, standing right next to you and saying, come on, let's do it. And you're like, nope, got to do this. Can't do that. No. You mean have a life? Can't do that. I vow to always be nice. I vow to never be special. And you don't even know you did it. It's hardwired into that chakra. It's a knee-jerk reaction. That's why you have to, at first with these things, you just have to watch your life and say, wow, I do that all the time. And I've done that ever since I was a kid. And it's never worked for me. It's ruined my relationships. It's ruined my work. It's never made me feel like I can amount to anything. It makes me believe I'm not good enough. I'm all of these things. And so the choices you make, if you're going to make a choice to live your purpose, you're going to have to feel how to make a choice. And your vows shut down your feelings so you don't get hurt again. But when they shut down the feelings so you don't get hurt again, they shut down your ability to feel. And when you set down your ability to feel, you can no longer make decisions. So one of the things you're all going to get in this program is, one, you're going to become a lot more sensitive, and you're going to be able to make real decisions rather than mental decisions, which aren't really decisions, because a mental decision was already made by your vows long, long ago. Your mental decisions are always just a compilation of your vows. Okay? All right, so let's get to... let's get to the chakra vows. Let's do the, what do we got for time here? So I've got to end at 25 after, so I was amazed. I probably should run these things for multiple hours. All right, so chakra one vows. Things like, so chakra one vows are based on, like we said, the body. And actually we did some chakra one vows. Let me just go to the chakra two vows. So we'll go to the chakra two vows. And so in chakra two, those are going to be vows that are around your emotion, your passion, your sensitivity. So it's the first chakra is your body, the physical structure and presence. The second chakra is like the nervous system, like how sensitive are you, and how much emotion do you have, and what was emotion allowed in your family? What was the emotional environment you grew up in, and how did you vow to, did you have some anger as a kid, or did you, what was going on in there, and what did you vow? So some of the vows on the sheet that I gave you are just very simple. I vow to reject how sensitive I am. I vow to always be loving and gentle, right? So one of them is you're a super sensate, so you're like an emotional intelligence specialist or maybe a charismatic leader, and you got these deep, deep ceilings, and it's like, I vow to reject how sensitive I am. I'm never, so you literally shut down your feelings so that you aren't rejected, because when you're super sensitive as a child, you cry a lot, right? Or you get upset, or you get overwhelmed, and parents are like, suck it up, what's the matter with you? And you say, oh, I vow never to do that, because you're getting rejected for this core, beautiful soul quality of being very sensitive. Or I vow to always be loving and gentle, because when you, were mean to your little brother, and your parents said, we're never, go upstairs, you're not going to get dinner, whatever it is, you're like, oh my God, I always have to be loving and gentle, or girls are supposed to be loving and gentle, or, whatever it happens to be. But that once again, it shuts down the power in you to be dominant, right? I have to be loving and gentle. That means I can't be forceful. And the reason you made that I always have to be loving and gentle is either because, you were rejected for being forceful, that's probably more like it, but it may be that you had a parent, you're loving and gentle, but you had a parent that was violent or loud or something. So oftentimes these vows are vows. You can say, I vow to always be loving and gentle, unlike my cold-hearted critical father, right? So you do it, you vow to only be that quality within you. But the truth is that you've got both your parents' energies within you, and you're going to be able to, you have both qualities. A vow says, I'll never be that. It creates your shadow, really. The vow says, I'll always be this and I'll never be that, or I'll never be this, I'll always be this. So these are the things. So I vow to never give myself pleasure until the work is done. So the second chakra is about feeding yourself, about nurturing yourself, about being nurtured, about asking for your needs, okay, and pleasure, and allowing yourself to have pleasure. And if you are, the work's got to get done before I get any pleasure, you can't find pleasure in your work, right? You're never going to find pleasure in your work. It's like, this is going to block you from feeling the pleasure of life. And the second chakra, when it's open, everything's pleasurable. Arguing is pleasurable. Not arguing is pleasurable. Sitting alone is pleasurable. Sitting with other people is pleasurable. Eating is pleasurable. Not eating, feeling hungry is pleasurable. It's like you're feeling, everything you feel is something that can be pleasurable, right? And so when the chakra is open, it teaches you what pleasure is, right? That's what it's all about, okay? you know, I vow to never put off gratification. So there's you know, more the charismatic leader or the emotional intelligence specialist. Like, I know I want to get it. I need it now. You know, so you can see that the second chakra is that's what it's about. So freedom statements for the second chakra are going to be around opening that center. And I'm open, so depending upon what your thing was, I'm open to pleasure in my body and life, all the pleasure my body and life can experience in every situation. So and so you can and so these aren't just opposite statements. You can also say, I'm open to all the pleasure my body and life can experience in every situation at the level it's present in the room. So if everybody is, let's say, you know, everybody's having a piece of cake or something, you know, and it's an office. Everybody's always sort of buttoned up, right? And everybody's having cake, you know. You may totally be like, this is the best cake I've ever had, you know. And if you're with your classmates, you might do a happy dance around the room, right? It's like, I love this cake. It's so amazing. But at work, that same amount of pleasure would be, are you tasting this cake the way I'm tasting? Who got this cake? And all of a sudden you're creating that same, you're feeling the same level of pleasure, but you're dealing with it in relationship, in the environment, in a different way based on the environment. That's the key with chakras. Chakras are perfectly designed to give you everything you've ever supposed to have in that chakra in every moment. But understanding that each moment creates the specific way it's going to do that, right? Whereas a vow, every time you have a vow, it's an always or never, right? So the deficient or the I'll never feel pleasure, it's just like, it's just cake. It's fine. The always feel pleasure at the greatest level. You're going to be over the top and you're not going to realize what the environment you're in, because your vow to always be like the over the top pleasure person, you know, the hedonist. It's like, yes, wild, isn't it? You know, that's going to be inappropriate for the situation. You're not going to have actually felt anything in the situation. You're just having an automatic response, a knee-jerk response to life. And you are not living your life. You are just reacting to your vows. Your vows are telling you what to do and how to behave all the time. And so you don't make any choices in your life. You don't live your purpose. You live your vows choices. Okay? All right. So, you know, I'm open to living with enthusiasm and passion. You know, if you're like, I button it up, I keep it together, I control my, you know, so I'm open to living my, and the same thing, you can, especially in the second chakra type of stuff, you can add into that, I'm open to, you know, living in enthusiasm and passion, you know, and inspiring others to do the same, which would mean that you'd have to be able to mirror, match, and pace them into a higher level of passion. Right, which would mean you'd have to sort of find them where they're at, rather than just walking in the door and being like the bull in the china closet. You interact with people, the enthusiasm and passion for them being kind of stuck in their lives. It's like, wow, we're really stuck, aren't we here? What if we tried this? What if we did this? What if, and all of a sudden you help them, you know, move out of that. And that's the inspiration. Okay, so the excessive and deficient. Where are we time-wise here? Oh, okay, we've got to wrap up. We'll just finish on the second chakra here. The types of excessive and deficient, not connected to others emotionally. So deficient is not going to be connected to other people emotionally. They will have, they'll feel non-sensual or non-sexual. They'll avoid that sort of sense element within them, which is very second chakra, that sort of sense of passion. Limited emotional range and life patterns are just repetitive over and over again. Second chakra is also about value, and so they're either miserly or controlling of wealth. And they definitely postpone gratification, you know, maybe forever, maybe never. They don't ever, maybe they become workaholics. So that'd be deficient second chakra. Excessive second chakra would be, addicted to any pleasures, every kind, over the top emotionally. Like you know people like this. They have an emotion, their voice is louder, they kind of overdo it. They're always overdoing, you know, the drama and trauma addicts, you know. They have a distorted self-image. They bleed energy everywhere. They control or they vampire you. They're super sexual or super sexy, you know, or they're like security and control freaks, right? They're controlling emotional, they control the emotional environment. If you're having an emotion, they got a bigger one, right? If you're down, they're more down. You know, it's like they're doing that. So that's the excessive second chakra. And then the balanced second chakra would be fluid, passionate, safe, and emotional. You know, safe emotions. They don't push their emotions on you. They're just enjoying and they're interacting. The chakras interact with the world, right? And then have the perfect way for. They teach you. They tell you. You make the choice to interact with the world. You know, in this symbiotic kind of like. The universe and you are one thing and you know, you're not separate from it. It's not like you have to prove anything to it. It's calling you out in each moment, you know, to be that. So read your, you know, the vows and excessive and deficiency. Third chakra is the self. I'll just really quickly review. Third chakra is the self, the individual self, sort of knowing like I'm a one of a kind. And, you know, the vows would be something around, I vow to never be seen or self-centered. I vow to be invisible. I vow to never conform. You can't make me. So it's like, it's all the sort of like the individual self and the way you express that one of a kind type of person, or the fake, you know, how do we cover it up? I always smile or I always frown. I'm always depressed. I'm, you know, whatever it is. I vow to never make waves. It's better just to avoid conflict altogether. You know, you make these vows as children, you know, I vow to never show off or be better than anybody else. You know, I vow to never be lazy or useless, right? Okay. Because, you know, God knows you're good and lazy and useless at times. So you have to be open to that. So it's like, I'm open to being totally lazy and useless when I just want to relax, you know, I'm open to that. It's like, you know, if that's your big one, you know, chances are really good. You've got, you know, part of you that you like just laying around when you were a kid and you got screamed at it as a parent, or you're at a super, super successful parent that was just like a do, and they push and they had the excessive third chakra and you're sort of deficient or laid back third chakra or balanced third chakra. They couldn't stand. So you had to, you know, to be loved, you had to do more. So, you know, let's see. So open to resting when I'm tired I'm open to seeing the greatest gift I have to offer is me. I share myself unconditionally and I accept my strengths and my weaknesses equally. You know, so those would be third chakra, vows, freedom statements. And then, in the third chakra, the excessive and the deficient in the third chakra are, you know, that's going to be super doers are excessive and super avoiders. You know, it's like when you see an excessive third chakra, it's like the person's just like in your face in so many ways. And then if they are deficient third chakra, you don't even notice them and they're quiet and they're hiding and they shy away. All right. So we need to go. So I need to stop this one and let me go back here. I'm going to unmute everybody and we're going to say goodbye, but this was our first class. So you guys totally rock. And I am, looking forward to our next class. I'll send you, I'll do some videos, all the sort of stuff I do. Keep an eye on the Facebook page. And if any of you are, have not signed up and want to sign up for the summer retreat, it's a blast. And you get to meet a whole bunch of upperclassmen as well as some of your classmates and play. And I'll be there with a bunch of the teachers, and the whole thing is to have fun. And we do just lots of healings and lots of meditations and lots of cool stuff over a 3-day period, which is very laid back. And so if you're interested in doing the summer retreat, don't miss it. It's not very expensive. We actually got a great deal on it this year. And, you know, we actually, it's half price of what it has ever been in the past. So it's awesome. So anyway, think about that and look for any emails. Remember that, oh, by the way, first year students, the email that says LMT, capital letters at the beginning, those are emails that come out from us that are specifically about the class. I send out marketing emails at times that are just like, you know, there's like a tag name or there's a webinar or the Facebook Live or something on it. If you don't want to open all the emails, you don't have to open all the emails, but the ones that say LMT on them, definitely open those. All right. So I'm going to close this out and we're going to, I'll see you in a couple of weeks. So let me just say goodbye to everybody. Bye.
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 The conference is now completed. Goodbye.